And you've been all in the Zoom session, yeah? I mean, sometimes people ask very strange questions. How can I fight Evita? What are people thinking, yeah? Or when I enter Samadhi, how can I enter Nippon? I mean, it's all in their head, you know? We are practicing in the heart, yeah? We want to see the truth in the heart. Yeah? I mean, the Theravada tradition, and that we are in the Theravada tradition, and there are only a few countries, you know, who practice the Theravada tradition, and one of the most dominant is Thailand, yeah? I'm in Sri Lanka, yes, as well, yeah? There's Myanmar, yeah? And Laos, you know, and parts of Cambodia, yeah? Cambodia. These are the Theravada countries. And what means Theravada? I mean the teaching of the elders. So, I mean, it is the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Yeah? And here, you know, especially here in Thailand, we go strictly by the book of the Lord Buddha. We practice according to the teaching of the Lord Buddha and don't change into any kind of Mahayana or whatever it is, yeah, tradition. Yeah? We practice by the Lord Buddha, by the teaching of the Lord Buddha, because we know, I mean, he taught it, you know, and he knew the way that leads to enlightenment, yeah, or leads to the end of dukkha, or leads to the end of samsara. Yeah? And that's what we follow strictly. And people, you know, I mean, just pick out, you know, especially in the West, I mean, they pick out this and they pick out that, they read this and they read that, or they hear this and then they assume this and they assume that, yeah? I mean, if you listen, you know, to the teaching of the Lord Buddha, what does he teach? The first noble truth? The noble truth of dukkha. What is dukkha? Discontent, dissatisfaction, you know, dis-ease, yeah? All the unpleasant things, you know, I mean, that disturb our heart or the body, that is dukkha, you know, and it's pain and it is suffering. That is the noble truth of dukkha. If we do not understand the first noble truth, I mean, we will never find a way out. If we, you know, especially also in the West, but also in Asia, if we only look for the nice things, yeah? I mean, how can we see the first noble truth? How can we see that life after life after life, I mean, we experience this discontent? And it can be bodily discontent, yeah? I mean, we know that every day in the morning we wake up and we don't want to get up, yeah? I mean, it's already dukkha, yeah? I mean, we are hungry, it's dukkha. We are thirsty, it's dukkha. We need to go to the toilet, it's dukkha. Yeah? And we are tired, and it's dukkha. But this is only the bodily dukkha. Then we are dissatisfied with this or dissatisfied with that. That is the mental dukkha. We want this or we want that. That is the mental dukkha. Yeah? I mean, we are not satisfied. That's why we are looking constantly for other things. Yeah? Even in our practice, when we practice, samatha, that means, you know, we either with the Buddha or the breath, you know, we're dissatisfied, we get bored with the breath, you know, I mean, looking for this, looking for that. It is very difficult, yeah. So that is the first noble truth, yeah. That's dukkha, yeah? If we don't understand, you know, if we don't really want to see the dukkha, and lots of people don't want to see the dukkha, yeah. They want to see the fun side of life, yeah? And that's why they never enter the path, you know, to the end of dukkha. Why should we, you know? I mean, look at this, yeah, this is nice. We're traveling to this country or going to that country or, you know, we have a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend, you know, and you know, a new wife or a new husband, you know. I mean, then they don't see the dukkha, you know, in all this, yeah? Because they are constantly looking on the other side. When we see something unpleasant, you know, we look, you know, we turn our head to another thing, huh? And, you know, look at something, yeah? That is nice, yeah? That's why these smartphones nowadays are such a distraction, yeah? Because they don't let us see the dukkha in our life. The moment we have dukkha, we turn on to the smartphones, yeah? We look at this, hours go by, looking at all this information, for what purpose, yeah? Just to disturb our heart, yeah? We don't see, we don't see it, how can we see the dukkha? And that's why, it is very difficult for the young generation who has been brought up, with a smartphone. Before it was the television, but the television was not on all the day, yeah? sometimes, we look at the television, but it got boring, yeah? But, the smartphone is with us for 24 hours, yeah? So every moment we can look, when we have dukkha, we don't want to see the dukkha, or we don't want to experience the dukkha, we look at the smartphone. That's why we, in this monastery, we are not allowed to have a smartphone, we give it, when we come here, we give it to the praveen, to the monk in charge, and when we leave, we get it back, yeah? Unless, there's a necessary, necessity, where we need to use it, yeah? And then we ask, for the moment, and then we can use our smartphone to call this or to call that, yeah? But not, to play around with it. people who are brought up with a smartphone, they have no sati, they have no attention span, yeah? When you look at people, who use a smartphone, their attention span is half a second, yeah? Or maybe, if it's good, it's a second, yeah? They see this, now they see that, and so on and so on. Yeah, how can we ever enter samadhi? Yeah? That's a big problem, yeah? look, the Mahabodha called it at that time, it wasn't that popular, was it 2001 or 2003, yeah? He called, the television or the phone, he called them Devatat, yeah? The things, Devatat are users, just to destroy us, yeah? Destroy our practice. And it is, that is what it is, yeah? So this is second noble truth, yeah? It's our wanting, our constant desire, brought on, by this restlessness that is deep within us, yeah? We want this, we're not satisfied with this, yeah? We want that, we're not satisfied with that, and we want to meet somebody, or we don't want to meet somebody, and so on, yeah? Or we want to be somebody, or we don't want to be something. We want to live, or we don't want to live, that is it, yeah? Tanha, that is the desire, yeah, that brings about this dukkha. If you don't have any desire, there's no dukkha. There's only the dukkha of the body, yeah, but no mental dukkha. And the third noble truth is, there's an end to the dukkha, yeah. And the fourth noble truth, yeah, and I really want to point out, the fourth noble truth, comprised of these three columns, sila, morality, or precepts, yeah? the five precepts for the lay people, and the eight precepts for the Meji and for the lay practitioner who stay here, yeah? And the 227 precepts for the monks who stay here, or who became monks, yeah? These are the precepts. It is part of the path to the end of dukkha. And that is the fourth noble truth, the path that leads to the end of dukkha. Or to Nibbana, or whatever you want to call, or to the end of samsara, or to the extinguishing of the fire of tanha, the extinguishing the fire of this constant desire to do something, or to want something, or not to want something. So the first column is these five precepts, when we are here, the eight precepts. Yeah? Keep them, yeah? Because if you don't keep them, they will disturb your practice. Yeah? And the better you keep them, the smoother your practice of samatha will go, yeah? Or the path of investigation. Yeah? So the second column is samatha. Yeah? It's the practice, to enter samadhi. And we do that with either the Buddha or with the breath, and we stick our attention onto the breath and know about the breath, how the breath is at every moment, every millisecond, you know, whatever it is, yeah. And the better we can follow the breath, yeah, I mean, the more sati, the more awareness we have. So we have to be aware of the in-breath. Is the in-breath long or short? Is it at the beginning? Is it at the end? Is it in the middle? Is it changing from in-breath to out-breath? All these things, you know, the more detail we know about the breath, I mean, the more concentrated we get. And this way we can enter samadhi, upachara samadhi. Upachara samadhi, you know, I mean, it is, you know, when we enter the room, we feel safe, yeah, because there are no more thoughts and there are no memories coming up, yeah, that distract us. Yeah? Before that, you know, there's a constant fight with the memories and the thoughts that come up. Yeah, oh, I don't sit correctly. I need to sit like this, or I don't practice correctly. I need to do this or do that. Yeah, I mean, these thoughts are constantly coming up and distracting us from our attention on the breath or on the Buddha. Yeah? But once we enter samadhi, I mean, the future disappears. So, I mean, there's no worries about the future. The past disappears. There's no worries about what we have done in the past. There's just peacefulness or happiness or joy or whatever, you know, whatever you can feel. That depends, you know, on the characteristic of each person, yeah, whatever he experiences. Yeah? But there's no worries and there's no fear. I mean, that's why we feel, you know, safe, yeah. It is a safe house for us, and it is of utmost importance that we need to enter that, you know. If it is, you know, if we are good, you know, we have to enter it every day for a certain amount of time. Yeah? And this is what we need to train. And for that, you know, we need an attention span. Yeah? We need to have an attention span of at least 10 to 15 minutes, yeah, to be able, you know, to stay with one object and not being diverted from this object, yeah, be it the breath or be it the Buddha, yeah, to be able, yeah. once we get into samadhi and we know we have entered samadhi, when we come out, yeah, when we come out, you know, all the kilesas are distracting us. I need this, I need that, you know, this is not good, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, or so. While we're in samadhi, you know, there is none of these thoughts, yeah. Last time I always also spoke about, you know, expectations, yeah. I mean, people who have entered, you know, samadhi know, you know, the value of samadhi. I mean, the next time, you know, they practice, you know, they're looking out, constantly looking out for samadhi. Now it is very close, now it is very close. As long as these thoughts come up, we are far away, yeah. So please remember this, yeah. And samadhi, you know, the awareness, you know, or the sati, yeah. Sati, you know, I translate it as awareness, not mindfulness, actually, because sati is actually mind emptiness. The mind is empty of any occupation, yeah? That is what is sati, yeah? And when we are in samadhi, you know, we have sati, yeah? The mind is empty of any occupation. It doesn't, you know, I mean, it doesn't do anything, you know, I mean, it just rests in itself, yeah? So that is upachara samadhi, and when we come out, you know, I mean, of course, you know, I mean, we will be, we don't like the heat, or we don't like the, you know, the humidity, or we don't like this, or we are hungry, or we are thirsty, or we are tired, and so on. But normally not when we come out of samadhi, we are energized, yeah? It is like recharging our batteries, yeah? So, I mean, practice it, you know, until you come to a stage where you can enter upachara samadhi and stay there at least for 10 to 15 minutes. And the third, yeah, I mean, some people think, you know, that samadhi, you know, is the way to nibbana. It's not, yeah, or that the jhanas are the way to nibbana. It is not, yeah. Even, you know, even if you are able to go into the seventh or eighth jhana, I mean, then it is still the eighth jhana and it is not nibbana. I mean, the Lord Buddha, I mean, remember, let us remember the Lord Buddha practiced the lower jhanas, the rupa jhanas, until he was completely, you know, apt to do that at any moment, any time. Yeah? But whenever, he said, whenever he came out, you know, the world was still the same. I mean, the Kilesas were dragging him around, you know, and wanting this and don't like this, you know, and so on, yeah? So he went, you know, and he asked the teacher, you know, I mean, is there something more to learn? Yeah, and then he said, yeah, there's another teacher who teaches you, you know, the Arupa chanas. So, the higher chanas, or non-bodily chanas. Yeah? So he went there, you know, I mean, stayed there for a while and, you know, practiced them until, you know, perfection, the eight chanas. But even after the eight chanas, yeah, he still came out, you know, and nothing has changed. But, you know, he had good concentration. Yeah. He had good sati. Yeah. That is, you know, I mean, either when we practice samadhi or the chanas, you know, I mean, we have good concentration. So, that's why the third part, you know, of the path that leads to the deliverance, yeah, is panya. Is the investigation to understand, yeah, to understand the nature of things, yeah. To understand, you know, or to let go of our attachment to the five khandhas. And the five khandhas is the body that is the most important khandha because we constantly worry about this body. Yeah? We worry about this body, you know, I mean, our life depends on this body, you know. At least that's what we think, yeah. And the health, you know, we worry about the health, we worry about, you know, the food, we worry about this and this, yeah, about heat and the cold, you know, it's all connected to the body. Huh? Feeling, you know, feeling of pain and so on, yeah. I mean, so we investigate the body, yeah, and together with the body, of course, bodily feelings, yeah, the feeling of pain. I mean, I talked often about how to investigate the feeling of pain when we are in samadhi, you know, when we train samadhi, yeah. That is the only exception when we can deviate from our buddha or from our breath, you know, when the pain becomes so strong that we cannot keep our attention on the breath or the buddha. Then we go in to investigate the pain, yeah. But I talked about it, yeah. I mean, forget about it for the moment, yeah. Remember it when you do it, you know. I talked often about it, how to deal with it, yeah. The body is only one of the khandhas, yeah. I mean, for entering the stream, I mean, I talked about it very often, yeah. I mean, there are three fetters, yeah. I mean, 10 fetters that are binding us to the realm of rebirth, yeah, to samsara. There are 10 fetters. The first three fetters, you know, is the fetter of doubt, yeah? Okay? Yeah? I mean, we wouldn't be here, you know, if we still had the fetter of doubt, you know, doubt that there is heaven, doubt that there is hell, doubt that there exist beings in heaven or beings in hell, doubt there is karma and doubt that there is a result, yeah, of karma, doubt that there is good karma or bad karma or result of good or bad karma. That is the doubt, yeah? The second fetter is, yeah, I mean, it's the first column of our samadhi, of our Fourth Noble Truth, yeah? It is morality or precept, yeah? Keeping the precepts, not keeping the precepts, keeping it and not keeping it. Yeah, it's not so important, yeah? Yes, it is important, yeah? From this moment on, we keep the precepts. No matter if it is the 8 precepts or the 227 precepts, we keep them, yeah? This is the second fetter, and the third fetter is, you know, I mean, is connected to this body, yeah? We believe we are this body, yeah? I mean, the chitta and the body are two different things, yeah? And this is something that we have to investigate. We have to see that the body is the body and the chitta is the chitta. I mean, the body doesn't feel pain, the chitta is feeling the pain of the body. I mean, if the body gets a cut, you know, or a hit, you know, I mean, it tries to restore itself. If it can, yeah, then it is restored, you know, and if it doesn't can, you know, it dies, yeah. I mean, that's the nature of the body. It's the same as with a car, you know. If it cannot be repaired, you know, if the car breaks down, if it cannot be repaired, you know, then we put it on the scrapyard. It's the same thing, you know, I mean, if the body cannot be restored, you know, if it cannot be reanimated, you know, I mean, then we put it in a grave or here in Asia we burn it, yeah? Because it's useless, yeah? It's no more fun, yeah? We cannot use it anymore, yeah? And from that on, we go into the next life or into the next body, be the light body, you know, a light rupa body, a light form body, or be it I'm an animal or a human being, or be it a ghost body or whatever. Yeah? So the investigation of the body is very important, you know. I mean, it's a third. Yeah? It's a third fetter. And if we can break the first three fetters, we can enter Sotapanna. We can enter the stream. And that gives us at least a relief, yeah. I mean, most of our dukkha is still there, yeah. Our greed and hatred has not been diminished in any way, yeah. But our attachment, our understanding that the body is us, is gone. We know the body is a vehicle, we use it, you know, to practice to the end of the path. Yeah, but it is a vehicle, and that understanding is very clear. And our worries about the body, you know, I mean, pretty much disappear, yeah. There still be some lingering worries, you know, about our health, or about our this or that, yeah. Or that we might die too early and cannot achieve, you know, Nibbana, yeah. That, you know, this is, yeah. But it is the same as with our car, you know. We worry that the car doesn't last, you know, for this amount of time or that amount of time, yeah. But we don't worry, you know. We don't worry or we don't attach ourselves to the body or we don't see that the body is ourselves, yeah. That the body is the citta. And the next, you know, the next is the feeling, is a khanda, is a group of feelings, yeah. The five khandhas, you know, I mean in Pali, are rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhana, and vinyana. Yeah? So, the body is the first, rupa is the body, you know, feeling, vedana, there are bodily feelings, you know, that we investigate together, you know, with the body. No? And then there are the mental feelings, and most of the mental feelings are much worse than the bodily feelings. Yeah? I mean, we are in a good mood or bad mood, you know, we don't like this, we don't like that, you know, it's much heavier on us, you know, it weighs much heavier, you know, than any of the bodily feelings of heat or cold or things like that. Then the third one is, you know, is memory and association, and then the fourth is it's thought formation, short thought formations, yeah. And the last one, the last khanda, the last group is, you know, is consciousness. Yeah? Knowing that has something come into the senses, yeah? Contact with the senses, yeah? And then, you know, who tells us to which senses? It's memory and association. It tells us to what sense, you know, what sense has been triggered and what this sense, you know, what this triggering means, yeah? I mean, our association, yeah. I mean, hear sound, you know, I mean, we define it as animal. Instantly, we define it as an animal sound or bird sound, you know, or you know, dog sound, or human sound, or female sound, or male sound, and so on. This is going pretty instantly. So consciousness just knows, you know, that something has come into the sense, made contact with the senses, yeah. So these are the five khandhas that we have to investigate. So the first khanda, I mean, for us, you know, for stream entry, I mean, we investigate, you know, the body, you know, to see the body as not self. I talked often about it, how to do it, yeah. And the next one is greed and hatred. Now we get into the fight with greed and hate, yeah? And greed and hate, you know, are born within this body, with the realm of the body and the senses of the body, yeah? So we have, you know, we have to dismantle the body, we have to dismantle the illusion about our body, you know, in order to get rid of greed and hate. And that's why we have to dive into the loathsomeness of the body. We don't make the body loathsome, we find it loathsome. The moment you open up the body, you want to puke, or you want to throw up, or you fall unconscious. Yeah? Ask the doctors, you know, the first opening of a corpse, you know. I mean, they either puke, you know, or they fall unconscious. Yeah? The body itself, you know, when we remove the skin, is loathsome. Yeah? Whatever is in, yeah, I mean, whatever is in the body, you know, I mean, is loathsome. Yeah? I mean, whatever comes out of the body is loathsome already, yeah? I mean, just spit, you know, the spittle that is in your mouth, spit it in your hand, and you don't want to lick it up. It comes from this body, yeah? The shit, you know, I mean, our digested food, we don't want to put it in our hand, we don't want to smell it, yeah? And we don't, especially don't want to rub it, you know, around our body, yeah? Also the sweat, yeah? I mean, why do we take a shower? Why do we wash our hair? I mean, because the dirt that comes out of the body. Yeah? So it is loathsome in itself, in its nature. We don't have to make it, you know. I mean, we just have to see it, and then we see it, the loathsomeness of the body. And, you know, this investigation goes on and on and on, you know, until greed and hatred are reduced, you know, until we can finally enter, you know, the stage of anagami. Yeah? And then, you know, our fight is not over. Yeah? We only defeated, you know, the armies of greed and hate. We have not defeated the army of delusion. That stands in our way. And delusion is, you know, is the army that is made, yeah? Like the greed and hate, you know, is born within the body in the realm of the senses of the body. So is, you know, is delusion born, you know, in the realm of thoughts and memories and association. I mean, they are intertwined, you know, even tighter than the, you know, what we see within the body, yeah? That's where delusion rests, you know, that's where delusion feeds on. So we have to fight that. Yeah, we have to fight the delusion. Yeah, before we can even come, you know, close to the mastermind Avijja. Yeah, only then, after the delusion is gone, you know, then we can see, you know, then the last fetter, you know, of the 10 fetters is Avijja. Before that comes restlessness. Yeah? Before that, yeah, comes, you know, the conceit: I'm better than he, and I'm worse than he, or I'm equal to him. Yeah. The fine conceit, not the conceit that, you know, people have in this world, yeah. No, it's a fine conceit, you know, my practice is better than his, you know, or my practice is worse than his, or his wisdom is bigger than mine, you know, or my wisdom, you know, is lower than his, you know, that is the conceit, you know, I mean, it is one of the fetters. This 8th fetter, the 9th fetter is restlessness, yeah. And the last fetter is Avijja. I mean, people understand you cannot fight Avijja. You cannot kill the general, you know, I mean, who directs the army of greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah? You have to see him, you know, to fight him. Yeah? And he stunts you, you know, like, you know, Lungta Mahabua said, you know, I mean, this is amazing, you know. I mean, he gives you all the power of all this universe. Yeah. And you think, why should I fight him? Yeah? That is Avijja. Some people, you know, I mean, when we look at the world, you know, at the moment, you know, I mean, yeah? Some people, you know, some soldiers think, you know, if I kill the generals, you know, I mean, the armies disappear. No, the armies don't disappear. And we cannot kill the general because we can't see him, because he's hiding behind the 3 armies, yeah? Avijja is hiding and directing the armies, yeah? I mean, in the beginning, you know, the army of greed and hate are directed by the delusion, yeah? I mean, the delusion that tells us, you know, this is nice, this is not nice, you know, directs greed and hate to come up. Mm? And after delusion is gone, only then we do see the mastermind. So please keep that in mind, yeah? And also for the people in the Zoom session, you know, I mean, remember it well. I mean, the samadhi or the jhanas are not the way out, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha very clearly stated, you know, the path to the end of samsara or to the end of dukkha or to nibbana is the path of sila, samadhi, and panya. So sila is, you know, keeping the 5 precepts or as a layperson, and here keeping the 8 precepts, yeah, or as a monk, the 227. And then samadhi is the ability to enter samadhi, at least upachara samadhi. We don't even have to enter apana samadhi. If you can, of course, it is much better. And then to investigate the things that we are attached to. And all our ego, you know, when we look at what we think about ourselves, is connected to these 5 khandhas. If there are no five khandhas, there's no attachment to anything, then we are free. Yeah. So remember this path, yeah. And don't think that there's a shortcut. Yeah. I myself have been stupid, enough to believe, yeah, things like that, because I was taught in the West, yeah. But when I came here to Thailand, and that was the reason, because I felt, there's something wrong with the teaching in the West, yeah. That's why I came to Thailand, and then I realized I even haven't started practicing yet. Because I didn't know anything about investigation of the body, investigation of feelings, investigation of the five khandhas, yeah. Some people say, okay, samadhi. In the West, samadhi is not important. Yeah, we just think our way out. Yeah? How well did it work out for us, yeah? We cannot think our way out, of the problems that we have. We have to face the problems. Some people think, just like in the Zoom session, we don't even need to develop wisdom, we just enter the jhanas, and from the jhanas, we enter nibbana. Yeah, it's all wrong. The Buddha really clearly stated, what we need to do and how we go about it, yeah? How we train samadhi, being aware of the breath going in or out, or the Buddha, installing the Buddha and then observe the Buddha until we enter upachara samadhi, and we continue with this training until we can enter apana samadhi. I talked about it before that, so I want to close with this, I want to close the talk with this, and please do remember, yeah. Okay, any questions? Yeah? What?
Whispers. What? I would like to ask about samadhi.
Yeah?
That, as far as I understood, it's like a state when you feel the world like inside, and you don't feel the body, the world, the outer world is like far, far away.
I have a problem with understanding the question.
That is not the question. The question is that there is like another state that if I keep the breath, like I don't go inside the breath, I keep the feeling of the breath.
Yeah.
And I keep the feeling of hearing sounds and everything.
Yeah.
It's like there is another state of unity with all of that, but it's not like the other one that I'm inside a bubble and I don't feel the body and I don't feel the world. It's like I feel everything
yes.
at the same time.
Yeah.
And there is no thought either.
It's a what?
No thought.
No thoughts, yeah.
And is that samadhi too? Because it's really different from the other state.
From which other state?
The state where you feel like the breath is inside you, you don't feel the breath, and you don't feel the body, and you don't feel the other world. It's like you are in the space somewhere else.
Yeah, but that is neither samadhi nor is it apana samadhi, because apana samadhi or one pointedness that the whole universe disappears. You don't know anything. As long as there's subject, as long as there's an observer and an object being observed, you have been sidetracked. This is sidetracked. The first thing that you talked, that is samadhi. But if you entered samadhi, when you come out, you feel refreshed, energized. Yeah, if you feel tired, you have not entered. You were close to it, but you have not entered it. But how you describe it, it probably looks like samadhi, upachara samadhi, yeah? You still, of course, you're still here, the body is not gone. But the more deeper you go, the outside disappears. slowly, slowly disappears, and then only the center of you know, the citta, you know, I mean, is you're aware of the center of the citta. And that's it. Yeah? But of course in the beginning when there's no thoughts and no memory, still there's sound, still, you know, still there might be even some feeling, but the mind is not distracted, it doesn't go out to and investigate these feelings or investigate the sound. Yeah? So that is, you know, that is perfectly clear, that is perfectly upachara samadhi, but you're still with the breath. Yeah, I mean, you know the breath because you cannot feel it anymore. Yeah. That is perfect. But you have to be, you know, you have to be clear. The moment you come out of samadhi, I mean, the kilesas have come and disturb you. Yeah. But you feel energized and you feel concentrated. You don't feel tired after coming out because that would be wrong. Okay? And the other thing, forget about it, it is, you know, I mean, you got sidetracked. You went on a different object, you know, and that is just roaming around, you know, in the world, yeah. Of course, you know, I mean, if we go out in our thoughts, we don't feel the body. And a lot of people do that. Yeah? I mean, when people now look at their phones, you know, and get really interested in a story, I mean, they forget the world around them. But that is not right samadhi. Okay? Any other question? Yeah?
If I may, when I investigate in the body, when I visualize the body in front of me in floating,
yeah.
I don't have strong visualization skills, so it will disappear after 1 second, a few moments.
Yeah?
Will this get better, or
should I
try something else?
No. I mean, the more often you do it, you know, I mean, the better it is. It has to be actually steady, yeah? I mean, if you see the body in front of you, or lying there, or standing there, I mean, that's fine. But it has, before you can ask questions, investigation, you know? I mean, you see, oh, there's a body, it looks like me, you know? And what is sitting here and knows what the body is, you have to ask questions in order for wisdom to arise, yeah? So the object that you observe, I mean, when you do this kind, the object that you observe has to be as steady as the breath or the Buddha that you observe, yeah? So when you see the body, you know, okay, yes, in the beginning it lasts only for a second, yeah? But later on it lasts for a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, yeah? And that is the same thing, you know, when you investigate the inside of the body. I mean, you can go in, you know, until you see your inner organs or whatever you want to see. Okay? Yeah, Shaolin, huh? Difficult? Just keep on going, keep on going. Don't worry so much. I mean, that doesn't lead to peacefulness. Yeah? Okay, then come. Yeah, if there are no more questions. Yeah.
It seemed to be that the more and longer I meditate, and the calmer and stable my mind seems to be during sitting meditation, but the more sensitive and angry I seem to be in normal life.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. I mean, we are more aware of our emotions that go on. Yeah, yeah. That is the training, and then when we become more aware of our emotions, then we can actually investigate what brings up these emotions.
And then he realizes that it's not helpful to react angrily and or aggressively towards people in situations. But how do I deal with these unskillful reactions?
You investigate, you know, what kind of view, you know, I mean, you picture, you know, after your samadhi, yeah, I mean, don't go out and meet people. You bring up these experiences, you know, meeting other people, and then see what is behind, you know, what is behind, what brings up this emotion, yeah? There is a cause, you know. Most of the time it's wrong view about this person or, you know, our ideas how things should be, yeah? I mean, it's mostly connected to our views, yeah? So, I mean, the moment you cut down on this use, these reactions won't come anymore.
She says how to handle this behavior maybe also means at the time.
At the time, you know, I mean, he reverts to the Buddha, you know, that is the best thing, yeah? To calm down, you know. The moment these thoughts that bring up these emotions that he is not aware of, I mean, the moment you replace him with Buddha, you know, it's pretty much gone, yeah. The moment he lets go of his Buddha, boops, it comes up again, you know. And then he has to go back to his Buddha or back to the breath, you know, whatever. But I think in this situation it's much better if you have Buddha, you know, because it also quells the thoughts that you have.
The next question. Probably not going to like this. I wonder how I should go about contemplate the impermanence of sankhara and consciousness.
I mean, I just talked about, I gave a whole talk about these, you know, these kind of questions. Yeah? I mean, there's a way, there's a path, you know, you cannot skip any of these steps, you know. I mean, first you investigate the body and you investigate bodily feelings, yeah. And then you investigate the inside of the body. I mean, consciousness, you know, I mean, I talked often about it. I mean, you have to have utmost awareness to be able to see consciousness appears, consciousness disappears. And especially, you know, in this area, in our times, you know, I mean, this is pretty much impossible.
They also go on to ask if the three namakandas are corresponding to the citta contemplation in the four foundations of mindfulness.
The three namakandas, yes, certainly, yeah, but except for one, the citta. I mean, in the four foundation of mindfulness, I think, to see the citta within the citta, or is it? I can't remember. Yeah, see the body within the body, see the feeling within the feeling, and see what? Thought within the thought, or whatever. I mean, I can't remember. It's a long time ago, you know, I saw it clearly.
Body, feeling, citta, dhamma. Investigating each of these.
Yeah, so two of the mental, you know, two of the foundations of mindfulness, you know, I mean, coincide, you know, with two of the khandhas.
And they ask how do we contemplate the impermanence of the Dhamma?
You know that the Dhamma has arisen, yeah? I mean, with the Lord Buddha, the Dhamma arises, and 5,000 years later, you know, it has disappeared. Okay. So, let's go back to practice, yeah? You know, Marina, you should start, you know, also investigating the body, huh? Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. I do it with
pain, not with... Pain is good, you know, it is fine, you know, but, you know, I mean, tearing off the body, you know, I mean, looking inside, yeah. I know women don't like to do
it. Yeah, with the investigation of pain.
Yeah?
If I start asking questions.
Yeah.
I go out.
But we have to train that, you know. It was also difficult for me, you know, I mean, in the beginning, yeah, because Lungda Mahabho only talked about investigation of the body. I mean, he didn't give so much, you know, emphasis on samadhi. He said it is necessary, you know, I mean, without samadhi we cannot investigate, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, he explained it how to do it, but, you know, and then he said, every talk, you know, investigation of the body, because that is cutting down on the kilesas, yeah? our attachment to this body. Yeah? You have to cut down pain. Yeah, it is a mental feeling, you know. It is connected to the body, but it's also connected to our mental feeling about pain. Yeah? So, body, tear it up. Yeah? Cut it into bits and pieces and lay it out in front of you. Yeah? Otherwise, no wisdom arises. Yeah? I mean, people can spend the rest of their lives in the jhanas or in samadhi, you know, and then they wake up in their next life, you know, and everything is the same. Yeah? Okay.